News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the program. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. We have more in-depth discussions with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. And speaking of which, coming up on today's program, we will have a conversation with State Representative Kim Lasada. She announced yesterday that she's running for the state Senate. She's going to seek the seat that's currently occupied by Senator John Prose, because he is being term limited out of office. And so I chatted with Representative Lasada yesterday. We'll hear that full conversation on today's program. We'll also learn what St. Joseph City Commissioners did last night. They talked about a lot of things, but they talked about parks. They talked about some changes to a wine festival. They also talked to the Coast Guard about life rings at the North Pier. That's sort of the main thing. And we'll be hearing a lot about that, I think, in the coming months. Coast Guard wants life rings at the North Pier by May. They want this to get done. It's a safety recommendation. There are reasons why, though, the city might want to tread carefully on that. We'll learn about that on today's program. We will also chat with AAA. They have a message for everyone. We'll find out what that is later on in the show. And then we'll talk with the Krazzle Art Center. Krazzle, right here in St. Joe. They are holding a special event this month. And it's actually it's a bike ride that they're going to hold this month around the Benton Harbor St. Joe area, and they hope to do it again. So we'll talk to the Krazzle Art Center about that on today's program. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now it's time for a quick break. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host. My name is Andrew Green. And right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with State Representative Kim Lasada. Why? Because she announced yesterday she's running for the state Senate. She's going to seek the seat currently occupied in the Senate by State Senator John Prose. He's being term limited out of office. Now, Kim Lasada has been in the 79th District State House seat for less than one term now. So this has come up pretty early in her Lansing political career. But we'll ask her about that. You know, these opportunities arise, and you have to take them when they're available. So Lasada announced yesterday she's running. She's got an endorsement from Berrien County Sheriff Paul Bailey, among others. She came in here and talked with me about her candidacy. Let's hear that conversation now.
Well, we're talking with State Representative Kim Lasada, Bainbridge Township. You've made a big announcement. You're running for the state Senate.
I am. I filed last Tuesday, actually.
Oh, and what made you decide to do that?
Well, John Prose, who is the senator, our current senator, can no longer run because of term limits. So it leaves an open seat. I decided that I wanted to continue my message, my work, and in a larger platform. You know, my husband is from Niles. His family, he has a lot of family in Niles. I'd like to represent them. And I believe that I'm the candidate to do it. I've worked hard for the 79th District. I've been open and honest and accessible. And I want to do that for this 21st District in the state.
All right, now, this you're still on your first term in the House.
I am. And unfortunately, we can't, you know, decide, as far as timing goes, when an open seat is going to be available. So, yes, I am finishing up my first term in the House. I'll be finished with that. And I've already started working on my Senate race, but I had a coffee hour this morning in Bridgman. I like to do those. I like to meet with people. And like today, one person showed up to meet with me, but that's all right because I went throughout the diner and introduced myself and, you know, a few people talked to me about concerns they had. So, you know, just being accessible to people and showing them that they can reach out to their state representative or if I'm their state senator.
You had a coffee hour in Bridgman this morning. Where were you at?
I was in Bridgman at the Olympus Diner, which really is, you know, a good place to be. A lot of local people go there. And so, yeah, I had one person show up. Usually at coffee hours, I don't really have many people show up. But like I said, that's okay. I'll kind of work around the room and talk to people. I always have things on me like maps. People love Michigan maps. So I'll give out Michigan maps. And you don't want to really bother someone in the middle of their meal, but everyone seems to be pretty receptive.
Okay. And so when you talk to people, what do you hear from them?
Just that, good things today. I heard that you're doing a great job for us, and I heard you're running for Senate. We're going to support you. So those were positive things. Others, just, you know, how things are going in the state. And it's nice to hear, you know, what people have to say, because you have to reach out to people because, you know, people are hesitant in reaching out to you, you know, to tell you what their concerns are. So that's why you have to be accessible.
So when you talk about your Senate run, what are some of your goals here if you make it into the state Senate?
Well, fortunately, I'll have a larger office, so that will help with constituent work. So that will be even more accessible than we are right now. I'll continue to do the things that I've been working on presently. As far as, you know, things in my district, I've got some things that I'm working on now, like a bill that would, for example, if a community, like the city of St. Joe, has a home that they would like to demolish, but it's been tied up in court for a while. So if an individual decides that they're going to just abandon their home, the city would then have to come in, demolish the home, and then pay for the cost of the demolition. So my bill would make the owner of the home responsible for the cost of the demolition.
Okay, and I can think of one home in St. Joe in particular that that might apply to.
Right, right.
Were you inspired in any way by that situation in St. Joe to think of this bill?
Brett Wachowski reached out to me to talk to me about this issue. And so Brett's done a great job working with my office, you know, on concerns that he's had.
Okay, so with the homes demolished out in Benton Harbor, this, of course, would be a factor as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then another thing I'm looking at are, like, these businesses that we have that sit vacant year after year. Really, it's a blight on our community. So I'm looking at the possibility of being able to do something with those. You know, maybe there's a 10-year time frame that a business can set empty. You know, we have Burger Chef over on
Pipestone? Okay.
That's, you know, doesn't look that great there. The Walgreens on Pipestone, the Arby's on Napier. So, you know, those, you know, why are they sitting empty, first of all? The people that own the business, they might be paying the taxes, but we want to see business. We want to see growth. We don't want to see empty, rundown buildings in our community.
So what's the idea? You're thinking about requiring the owners to demolish them, or what do you...
Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's in the, you know, discussion phases right now. There are some communities that do have certain requirements. So, for example, if a building, a business sits empty for at least 10 years, the building has to be taken down or, you know, something done with it, you know.
We're hearing a conversation between myself and State Representative Kim Lasada yesterday about her run for the Michigan Senate. Just now she was telling us about legislation she's working on in the State House to crack down on the owners of abandoned, dilapidated properties. And then we got back into her campaign for the State Senate.
Okay, when we talk about the State Senate run, was it a difficult decision to make?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, again, there was an open seat. I've enjoyed doing what I'm doing now. And it just seems like a nice transition, if it's possible. I'm again, going to work hard. And I don't take any of this for granted. So I'll be working hard and for that seat. And no, I want to do more of what I've already been doing. And I want to do more for not only the 79th district, I want to do more for a larger area. I just am so, I guess, enthusiastic about our community and doing better. I want to see positive changes. So, no, it wasn't a difficult decision.
Do you feel like with the, you know, roughly 2 years you've been in the legislature, you've learned enough about the process to be able to go to the Senate, sir?
I do. And I believe, I think, you know, while I have never served in the Senate, the process in the House is not that easy because there are 110 members. So things really do work slowly in the House. So, I think it'll be a fairly smooth transition. I've spoken to other state senators about this, and I have their support. And, you know, I never make decisions lightly. And being a teacher, I do a lot of research, you know, on any decision that I make. So, I think it'll be a good transition, and hopefully I'm successful, and I look forward to it.
Great. Will you be running to replace? You are running to replace State Senator John Froese. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I don't know what he's planning on doing. Just hopefully, you know, he gets what he wants in whatever position that is. Or I look forward to seeing what he's going to do in the future.
All right, you do have some endorsements already.
I do.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I have from Berrien County. I have Sheriff Paul Bailey, which is great. He's a good friend, and he was my co-chair person on my race for the House. I have in Cass County Dave Matthews. He is the president of Southwest Michigan College. I also have the sheriff from Cass County. He is Rick Benke from St. Joseph County. I have Cameron Brown, who used to be state senator from that district. Mm. And I'm working, I've got others, but those are all that I'm willing to speak to right now.
All right. When I read your press release announcing your candidacy, the first thing you mentioned for priorities was auto insurance reform.
Oh.
Do you think that can actually still happen?
Oh, I hope so, and I haven't given up on that. While, you know, people may think that nothing has been done. Well, they may be right, but there still are discussions. And I do have some colleagues that are bringing up more bills with regard to auto no-fault. Because like I've said before, that was the number one issue for me as I knocked on doors throughout the county.
Hmm. And you also mentioned tax reform. Are you talking about eliminating the income tax here or any specific ideas for taxes?
Well, we're working on, as we've seen with the federal government, what President Trump has given us would require each individual to pay more. So in the state, we need to fix that. And so there's no set plan yet, but the House and the Senate and the executive are working on a plan.
Well, I mean, anything else you want to add about your run for the state Senate?
Yeah, I'm very excited for this opportunity to run for the state Senate. My family's very excited and very supportive, and you know, this is great for my children, great opportunity. They see what it takes to give back. You know, I try to teach my kids that you should give back to your community, and this is exactly what I'm doing, and I I've enjoyed everything about being a state rep. We have a great community and great people.
All right, that was State Representative Kim Lasada talking with us yesterday about her candidacy for the state Senate, recorded on video there. That was the audio pulled from a video camera. But I appreciate Representative Lasada's time. She says that auto insurance reform and tax reform, basically she wants to keep doing what she's been doing in the state house and keep doing that in the Senate. And so now she's running. There is a Democrat who has announced. We've heard from him previously on Our Take, and that was former Hager Township Clerk Ian Haight. He's a Democrat. He is running as well. Representative Lasada there is the first candidate to announce on the Republican side of things. I imagine there will be some other Republicans who will jump into this race because the 21st District State Senate seat encompasses not just Berrien County, but also Cass and St. Joseph County, Michigan. And so we'll see if there's a primary in August for that post. I suspect there will be. It's just no other Republican has yet announced. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk about what St. Joe City Commissioners did last night. Two main things, really, to tell you about. They heard about a parks plan. This was a big discussion. It's always a big discussion. So we chatted with the Deputy Parks Director about that. And also we'll learn about what the Coast Guard had to say at last night's St. Joseph's City Commission meeting. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. I am hosting today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be here. Thanks for tuning in. Right now, I thought I'd tell you a bit about what St. Joseph City Commissioners discussed last night. They held a meeting, a nearly four-hour meeting last night. There was a lot to talk about. First up was a parks master plan. The commission's been talking about drafting a master plan for three parks in particular. That's Dickinson Park, Riverview Park, and Whirlpool Centennial Park. Now, people who live within the vicinity of these parks are all very passionate about what sort of changes are made to them. So last year, a series of meetings was held on these three parks, and there was a lot of public involvement. The city sent out surveys, got hundreds of responses from people. And basically what a master plan is, it's a document that governs development within a community or within a series of parks for a period of several years. So the Deputy Director of Public Works, Greg Grothaus, addressed city commissioners last night with the latest amended plan for these three parks. I caught up with him after the meeting to ask a little bit about what the plans are and what could happen next. Basically, city commissioners want to focus first on some improvements at Whirlpool Centennial Park, and Greg's also hoping for a big improvement at Riverview Park. He wants to seek grants for these projects. Let's hear what Greg had to tell me last night.
All right, we're talking to Greg Grothaus, Deputy Public Works Director, right?
Correct.
All right, City of St. Joe. Okay, so we're talking three parks, Dickinson, Riverview, and Whirlpool Centennial. So I guess just going through each one. Now, first of all, this master plan, this is like looking years ahead, right?
Correct. I mean, it's a 5, 10, 15-year plan, but we kind of put it in place, so we've got a roadmap to guide us through this process. We can look at it in phases. We can do phase one this year, phase two in 3 years. It gives us a roadmap. Doesn't mean it won't change down the road, but it gives us a plan moving forward. It helps us apply for grants with the state of Michigan through the DNR by having these plans in place. If there's groups out there that wanted to fundraise on behalf of a project, we've got this in place and can say, this project, this might be something you'd be interested in. So it's, like I say, it's a roadmap for the future for us.
All right, so looking at the three parks, it looks like the top priority is something at Riverview, correct?
Well, I think the commission tonight, their priority would be Whirlpool Centennial, just because of the visibility, some of the operational maintenance issues that we have with the fountain. So I think that's kind of the emphasis, but Riverview as well. Briarwood needs some improvement, and so that's certainly a focus to make some improvements to the Briarwood shelter at Riverview.
So when you talk about the three parks tonight, so do you think the first thing that will happen is some action then for Whirlpool Centennial?
Well, I'm hopeful that maybe it's Whirlpool Centennial and Riverview to address the Briarwood shelter. There's at least three grant opportunities out there through the DNR that we can apply for. So, I cross my fingers and I hope that, we can hit two of those possibly. It's not unprecedented to happen, but fair at least I think we can get one of them.
Let's start with Whirlpool Centennial. What would be the first things you'd be doing over there?
First things would be some additional sidewalks with outdoor showers so people can basically rinse the sand off coming from the beach before they enter the fountain, so they're not using the fountain as that rinse off. Sand is a big issue we deal with operationally with the fountain, and that might help reduce some of those issues. And addition of shade structures. Adding some shade would go a long way. Through this master plan process, the number one comment we really heard was, we need shade, more shade, more shade. I think those are two of the higher targets. We get some operational improvements with the outdoor showers, and we also address the shade.
All right, and Riverview, the Briarwood, tell us about that.
Well, the Briarwood shelter, probably dates back to the 60s when it was constructed. It's a log structure, and time has just not been great. It's right there on the river. It's an area that floods occasionally, and some of those timbers are just, they're starting to rot, and there's some issues that'll be coming up. Is it at risk of, collapsing or anything? No, but it is certainly something we need to be aware of and try to address as quickly as possible. And, using a grant for something like that that's as old as it is, and people recognize and remember, the Briarwood structure, because it's been there forever. And it's a log structure, so it kind of stands out in people's mind. It's right on the river. It's a popular place for people to reserve. It just makes a lot of sense on a lot of different angles.
All right, so following tonight, what's the next thing that happens?
Well, the next step would be to work with our consultant with the master plan, as they're going to prepare these grant applications for us. So they'll start working on those, and then in the next couple weeks, we'll have a public hearing to basically approve of the projects we've identified to submit these grants for. And from there, once the grants are submitted, which has to be by April 1st, it's kind of the waiting game till sometime in December before we'd hear if we were approved or not.
Okay, that was Deputy Director of Public Works for the City of St. Joe, Greg Grothaus, talking with us about the possible improvements coming to some local parks as part of this master plan they've been drafting. The next step is for a public hearing to be held by the City Commission so that he can put together some grant applications. The first two things they want to do are do some work over at Whirlpool Centennial Park. That includes putting in some foot washes. A major problem for the fountain down there is sand that gets into it because of people, washing their feet off in the fountain. So they want a couple of foot wash sort of little stations down there. And recent surveys indicate the public really wants some kind of shade structures at Whirlpool Centennial Park. Indeed, if it's a hot summer day and you're down there, you kind of wish there was a place to stand in the shade. So they're going to go for that, and Greg also wants to replace the Briarwood facility, that's the shelter at Riverview Park, the one that gets rented out all the time. It's old. He says it really needs to be replaced. So those are the first two things they're talking about. As for Dickinson Park last night, they talked about adding in a playground there, and there is some debate about whether or not to add a shelter where a couple of picnic tables could be placed. Some residents are pretty passionate about whether or not that should happen. But it looks like the first two things the city's going to do is try to improve Whirlpool Centennial Park and Riverview Park. By the way, they're adding disc golf into Riverview Park as well, which should be nice. That's a nice place to go. Also last night, St. Joe City Commissioners heard from the United States Coast Guard. A representative of the Coast Guard, Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez, was there, and he made an official Coast Guard recommendation to city commissioners last night. They want life rings to be installed at the North Pier. You may recall back in 2014, Berrien County added life rings at the South Pier. And actually, County Commissioner Jeanette Leahy was on hand last night to attest to the fact that those life rings have saved people. Well, the Coast Guard says, you know, there's a lot of people walking around at the North Pier now, ever since the lighthouse was restored, and it may be time to finally add some life rings there.
Things change over time based on need, and I believe that need is now.
That's the Coast Guard's Lazaro Lopez telling commissioners it would cost about $2,300 to put in life rings if you went the absolute cheapest route, and it shouldn't be hard to get that money. Now, the problem is it creates a liability issue for the city. The city attorney noted last night, if they start providing that service, then they are responsible for it, which means there's maintenance issues. You got to worry about people stealing life rings or just them getting washed off. The Berrien County Sheriff's Department, though, was on hand last night. Chief Deputy Robert Boyce was there to tell city commissioners on behalf of Sheriff Paul Bailey, the Sheriff's Department would be more than happy to enter an agreement with the city to help maintain life rings at North Pier. Now, I know that speaking to the city commission about life rings last night, Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez, that won't be the only time he does so. He's planning to go back and talk to them more. So they want these life rings by May. It creates maintenance issues. It creates liability issues. That's something the city needs to consider. But he says it could save lives. And he noted most piers in Lake Michigan on this side of the state do have life rings installed. It's just a common thing that the communities offer. So we'll see if St. Joe City Commissioners allow this to happen. What happened last night was they indicated a willingness to consider the idea, so they instructed the city manager to look more into it and answer some questions. We'll be hearing about that more at future city commission meetings. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now it's time for a break. When we come back, we will chat with AAA about self-driving cars and you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. This is the show where we have longer conversations with people who are in the know or making things happen in Michigan's great Southwest. We have more in-depth conversations about things that you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. Speaking of which, first segment of today's program, we talked with State Representative Kim Lasada. She's running for Michigan Senate, and so we talked to her yesterday about this campaign she's decided to embark on. She's the first Republican to announce that she is seeking the seat about to be vacated by State Senator John Prose. Because of term limits, she wants to basically continue doing what she's been doing in the House, only in the Senate. So we heard about that on today's show. We also learned about what St. Joe City Commissioners did last night. They talked about several issues. First of all, parks plan, a master parks plan for three parks in particular, Dickinson, Riverview, and Whirlpool Centennial. And we also heard about the Coast Guard last night. They gave a presentation to the St. Joe City Commission asking for life rings on the North Pier. They say the time is now, and so the city's looking into it. And that won't be the last time we hear about that issue. Right now, to close out today's edition of the program, I thought we would talk to AAA because they recently released the results of a survey that they did on self-driving cars. More Americans are getting used to the idea of self-driving cars, which is a good thing because they're coming, and there's nothing we can do to stop that. So you may as well get used to it. AAA nationally did a survey of drivers 63% of U.S. drivers still afraid to ride in a self-driving car, but that's a decrease from last year from 78%, so attitudes quickly changing there. I talked to the AAA's AAA spokesperson, Gary Bubar, about this. Let's hear what Gary had to tell me. All right, Gary, so AAA's done this survey of the attitudes of drivers when it comes to self-driving cars. Tell us more about the survey and what you found.
Well, this follows up on a survey that was done last year at about the same time regarding the attitude that folks have toward not just being in a vehicle that's autonomous, but being near a vehicle or having one on the road with you, and also your confidence in your own driving abilities.
Okay, so this is just 1 year after the last survey, and attitudes are changing.
Yes, and some of the interesting follow-up, we found that, yes, people are still anxious about being in a vehicle that would drive itself, but not as bad as it was last year. Last year, about 78% of the respondents said that they would be really nervous and afraid about being in an autonomous vehicle. And this year, only about 63% said they would be. So that's better. Still not good, but better.
All right. And it's looking very likely here self-driving vehicles are a thing that's coming, and we're going to have to get used to them. Is that also the prediction of the AAA?
It is. And the thing to keep in mind, though, is that this is not going to happen overnight. Even though we know that there are some manufacturers that are going to have them available inside of 5 years, it's not like all the vehicles on the road are going to immediately turn over to be autonomous and self-driving, or even connected vehicles, for that matter, whether it be connected to the road or connected to each other. What we're really looking at is something on the order of as much as 20 to 30 years, perhaps longer.
And what are some of the biggest concerns about self-driving vehicles?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that people like what the technology is supposed to do. When you have things like emergency braking and lane keeping, automated cruise control is a simple one, but all those things people like, but they don't necessarily trust. And I think until there's more experience and there's more positive reports about the good things that these technologies can do, then I think there's going to be some anxiety on the part of folks wanting to use this or not use this.
Anything you find in the survey indicating there are certain groups that are more accepting of technology than others?
Well, as you might expect, some of our younger adults, the millennials, as you will, they were fine, better with it than those of us who have been driving a little bit longer. And they're usually early adopters to technology more so than older folks anyway. So that's not, that's not surprising. But I think there is a romance about driving your own car. For those baby boomers who grew up, that was your Facebook. That was your chance to go out and socialize. And we don't have that so much anymore. And so given that, we find that a lot of the baby boomers and Gen Xers are a little more slow to pick up on the autonomous driving trend.
Okay. Great. Well, but it seems like attitudes are changing slowly, and we got some time here. As you noted,
we do. And even though there are giant strides taking place, particularly in Michigan, AAA has the attitude that we want to use the good technology to keep our roads safer. Safety is even more important than efficiency in terms of making using these technologies the right way. We see all kinds of things. Tesla is testing semis that are connected to one another and autonomous, and it's very efficient and it's very safe because they're not going to hit one another. But we have to make sure that for passenger vehicles, we're going to have a lot of years where there is a mix of self-driving and human-driving vehicles on the road at the same time. So we have to make sure that safety still remains at the forefront.
I know I am looking forward to the day. As much as I enjoy driving, I look forward to the day when I can take a ride across the entire state to go visit my mom and just be able to sit in the back seat and read a book or something.
Well, my daughter lives 10 hours away. And how nice would it be to simply program in a GPS and then have a nice long nap?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think those days are going to be here anytime soon.
Right, and I imagine when they finally do roll out autonomous vehicles, they'll still want someone to be awake and paying attention.
You know, and there are a number of folks that are buying vehicles that do have some of this technology on it that think they're capable of more than they actually are. No matter what kind of technology you have in your vehicle today, whether it's lane keeping, blind spot, emergency braking, those kinds of things, you still have to be prepared to take the wheel immediately.
We've been talking with AAA's Gary Bubar about a survey AAA did that found 63% of U.S. drivers are still afraid to ride in a self-driving car, but that's a decrease from 78% just a year ago. And it also found 13% of drivers would feel safer with a self-driving car on the road with them. Gary, anything else you want to tell us about this survey?
No, just that, not really. I think we covered it very well. Just even though the majority of the population right now may not be comfortable with an autonomous vehicle, as they enter the mainstream, as we see them on the roads, a number of good things are going to happen. Folks will get more comfortable with it. And keep in mind, too, that when you have vehicles that are connected to the roadway, it's going to be imperative that those roads be kept in good condition. And that's going to help a lot with the condition of the roadway, too. We'll see better roads as we see these vehicles connect more.
Okay, that was AAA's Gary Bubar talking with us about self-driving vehicles. Are you afraid to be on the road with a self-driving vehicle? Most people still are, but that attitude is changing, and it's probably going to have to. Now, what I'm truly afraid of is a self-aware vehicle, but they're not talking about those yet. Once your self-driving vehicle becomes self-aware and begins to resent you, that's when you really should be afraid of it. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we will talk with the Berrien County Health Department about hepatitis A and also some free STD testing they're offering down in Niles this week. What could be better for Valentine's Day? We'll also talk with State Fire Marshal Kevin Salemeyer about what he wants residents to be thinking about this time of year when there's so much snow built up outside. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E. At WSJM.com, News Talk 94.9, WSJM. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have an excellent rest of your day.